Welcome to Figuring It Out, the podcast for millennial women starting online businesses, blogs, and podcasts they love. I'm Melissa Guller, founder of The Kindling, and each week I interview another amazing woman to learn more about her story, her challenges, and her best actionable tips to help you find your spark. Today we're talking with Ashley DeLuca. She works with creative female entrepreneurs who struggle with their digital marketing strategy and would like to rise into their fullest potential online. So Ashley, welcome. Do you want to elaborate a little bit more about you and what you do?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super pumped.
Me too.
So my name is Ashley DeLuca, and I have a really huge passion for helping female entrepreneurs, especially those who are more on the creative side, help with their digital marketing strategy. Oftentimes, I have found that we're awesome at social media, we're awesome at our Instagram lives and all that good stuff, but then we forget how to actually link that all together and ultimately link it back to our websites, which I believe is our grounding home base for our businesses, especially when we're running businesses online. So my biggest goal is to be able to help kind of weed through all those struggles and help them rise into their fullest potential online, which allows them to be able to make their mark and build their empire.
Yes. Don't we all just want to build an empire?
Yes.
Well, before you can build an empire, you have to start somewhere. So how did you first get the idea for this business?
So it's really interesting. I had a dream that I always wanted to work in corporate America. Always. Like, that was my thing. And so I grew up in a small town called Defiance, Ohio. And in that process, I moved to Columbus, got that corporate job that I was always dreaming about. And I found myself at Panera with my best friend, and we were just sitting there, and I was like, this is so unfulfilling. Like, I'm doing everything I thought I was wanting to do in life. Like, I thought this was it. I thought this was exactly what I wanted to do. And I'm just not fulfilled. Like, I don't feel like it's my actual purpose. Like, it's not what I want to do. And she just looked back at me, and she's like, Ashley, what is it that you actually want to do? And I was like, you know what? This is what I want to do. So I actually was able, I started my website and everything while I was sitting there at Panera on my laptop.
That day, and you just got right into it.
I was like, you know what? We're going to do it. I had already had previous experience blogging for myself. So I knew how to set up a basic website, all that good stuff. But honestly, I didn't know anything about email marketing. I didn't know anything about opt-ins. I was so confused about like some of just like even just kind of the basic online business stuff. All I knew was how to set up a website. And I was like, all right, cool. I know how to do this. So I'm going to have to just figure out the rest of it. Mm-hmm. So it just really came from a place of wanting to be able to serve on a much broader level and being able to really fulfill the purpose that I felt was inside of me.
I love that you start with that, with your purpose and this need, this I want to help other people, because I feel like having a really clear why in business is what'll get you through all of that frustration with all the logistics and then not knowing how.
Exactly. Yeah. Again, it was really frustrating. I think I've been in business now for 2 years, going on three. And my first year was definitely the hardest because I was in learning mode. I wasn't able to scale. I wasn't, you know, even building. I was just learning about just the basics of running a business. Like, we have all these preconceived ideas, and even just like the library, like you go to the library and look at the library books and you're reading about business stuff, you're like, okay, but this doesn't really apply to the online space in particular. And so there's a lot of stuff that you just have to learn by experience.
Yeah.
And just kind of putting yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, can you tell us how you finally did earn that first dollar?
So I actually earned my first dollar off of Craigslist. So again, going back to what I was just mentioning, like about like the whole library book thing, like, you know, people are like, oh yeah, this is where you need to do your business. This is how you do it. This was before I knew Facebook groups were a thing or LinkedIn, all that good stuff. And so I actually started off on Craigslist looking for opportunities in my area. And that's how I made my first one.
And what exactly was the post?
So basically it just kind of outlined, it was someone who was looking for a basic WordPress website for a realty company. So I went ahead and reached out to them, gave them my credentials at the time, showed them a couple of things that I had already just made already myself for myself personally. And then I met them actually at a Panera.
Panera is really the backbone of your business, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I owe a lot of credit to Panera at this point. But
I love Panera.
That's where we started off at. And that's, I mean, it was that first post from a realty company that got me going.
Well, what I love about that too is I think there's a lot of overwhelm that I feel if you imagine trying to bring somebody to your own site. But the fact is there are a lot of sites where you can go there yourself and they already have some starter business opportunities. So I think that's a great way to kind of get started and get those initial jobs is just go where the people are.
Exactly. And I think also too, like, while we always want to charge what we're worth, a lot of it has to do with building your experience as well. Not underselling yourself necessarily, but just looking for those opportunities to make you to that next level. Because if I never would have taken that particular job, I don't know, like, would it have been 2 months later down the road, would I have been able to start? Or, you know, the experiences that I learned from doing that job, I mean, obviously I was able to apply, you know, to my future clients as well too. So
mm-hmm. Great advice. And I think something else that people struggle with when they're starting their own businesses or a blog or a podcast is there's always somebody else doing the same thing as you. So what sets you apart from other businesses on the same topic that you're dealing with marketing?
So with me in particular, one thing that I have done a lot of research on and have found is there is so much basic strategy out there. And the problem is I have found going through that is people want actionable strategies that they're actually able to implement in their business today, step by step. They want to know. And I was looking through Amazon Facebook reviews and reading through those 3-star reviews on some of the most popular books out there for digital marketing. And so many people were like, hey, like, I already knew about this. Or this is like super basic, or even just a simple fact like, yeah, you told me like all about what I need, but you never actually told me why I need it or going forward into how to actually implement it into my business. So my biggest thing is teaching not just like the why behind why digital marketing is important, but also the how. So that way you can actually start implementing it into your business today and actually seeing results tomorrow.
That's so smart. Not only is that a great differentiator, but I want to highlight the strategy that you used, going on Amazon, finding books in your area, and really looking through the comments. That's such a wealth of research and information to see what people liked or found missing from the existing books on that topic.
Exactly. And I mean, even if you're not looking to write a book, you know, a book is definitely in my future by all means, but just in the basics of actually looking at that information, it taught me so incredibly much because people invest so much time into books. You know, obviously invest time to get it listed on Amazon and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, when you're looking at it in the like whole perspective, you're like, oh, well, like, yeah, they spent all this time, but the book was just subpar. So what can I do to be able to like take from that that is going to help me take my business from being just normal and moving it to that next level that's really going to help impact people?
Mm-hmm. Great advice. So I think that's a nice segue into the next section where I want to talk about some of the milestones you've hit in your own business and how you got there. So what are some of the recent milestones that you've hit? Something like a revenue number, a customer number, a follower number, just anything that's meaningful to you.
So the most meaningful thing that has definitely happened for me here recently is I was able to leave my corporate America job 2 months ago to run my business full time.
Amazing. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. And the thing is just a simple fact that I was able to take a look at my time and how I was spending it. And again, going back to like my why with being able to be like more purposeful and being able to serve more people, I was like looking at it like, yeah, like I could stay here. I love my coworkers. They're great. But at the end of the day, I'm not able to actually serve as many people as what I could if I was full-time in my business.
Mm-hmm. And how did you actually make that transition? I think that's such a big leap to go from running something on the side with a full-time job to pursuing something full-time. So how did you approach that? What was your strategy?
My main strategy that I was able to use was looking at it in regards to with a very big preparation mindset. So I told myself a month before, and a lot of times some people may need more, but for me, it was just a month is what I needed to be able to outline and figure out the next month of when I was going to basically go full time. So taking a look at first, like at the revenue. So obviously I knew that I needed X amount of money to be able to go full time and that I would be okay. So I looked at first, okay, so how many clients do I need to be able to reach that? So during that month, like the previous month, like as I was working before I left, which would be May, I went through and made sure that I had enough clients booked for the beginning of June to be able to get me through basically that first half of the month.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a working backwards kind of process.
Exactly. Definitely. So everything that basically I did was a working backwards process for the future. So I worked on like my social media posts, and I worked on doing like my blog posts and emails, all that good stuff I did ahead of time. So that way, the only thing I was concentrating on in June was getting new clients to be able to fill the next 2 months and just kind of moving forward. Now that I've been full-time in my business for a couple of months now, now I'm in the stretch of just doing it automatically where it, I mean, it, like, evens out. But I do believe that the biggest thing is making sure you have an actual exit strategy laid out and firm, and you're, you know, committed to whatever it is that you need to do to be able to make sure that you're going to be taken care of. Because the dumbest thing that you can do is leave your full-time job and not have an emergency fund, not actually have a plan, not have clients lined up. You definitely need to make sure you have all those things in place, so that way you're not sitting here stressing, looking for clients or looking for, you know, sales. You already know that you've done a lot of prep work to be able to, you know, help you get through that phase.
Absolutely. I think that's great advice, that you should plan ahead, and that way you'll know exactly when you're ready to leave because you will have hit those milestones. Now that we've walked through your, you know, recent milestone, I also want to address the challenges, because obviously building a business is a tough thing to do, and I want to talk about that. So what would you say was the number one challenge that you've faced in your business so far?
The number one challenge that I faced in my business was definitely that the transition phase and understanding how to actually make that happen. And in my business, I have transitioned in a lot of different ways, not just with leaving my full-time job, but I've transitioned from like an agency style company to a self-branded style company. And so in each of those transitions, it's been a little bit different based off of like, how do I want to show up? How do I want to be visible? How am I serving? And the biggest thing is trying to figure out how to actually make that, so that way, you know, the people who love you and who have fallen in love with who you are, you know, your ideal clients are going to follow along with you.
Yeah. Can you walk us through that a little bit? When you were, like you said, kind of shifting the way that you were running your business, how did you make that transition?
The thing that I did is I always kept them in the loop. And the biggest thing is I always, as I was moving, because again, so I started off being just in a very, like, I want to say like a very stone cold dry kind of agency where I hid behind the name of my business and I was just behind it. Like, I didn't really show my personality. And so moving forward into like the business that I have now, like, it's definitely like way more about myself, way more about like who I am, all that good stuff. So I started to integrate it little by little by little into like my social media, like how I talk to them in regards to with my emails. So that way, when they started to get like my new emails and my like quote unquote new format, it wasn't really that like shock of a difference based off of like how I changed my writing or how I was speaking to them. And so it was a lot about just like integrating it little by little, but also keeping them in the loop. Like, hey, like, just so you know, this is what's happening. This is what you can expect. And then sharing it with it. And then always being open to feedback in return.
I think those are three great pieces of advice. So doing it little by little versus just kind of flipping a switch overnight. And then the second thing you mentioned was keeping people in the loop, being very open, very transparent. And then the third that you mentioned, just being really open to their feedback, and that it was a two-way communication and it wasn't you just kind of forcing something permanently on people.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's really, I think a lot of us have a business, and I want to encourage people, you have to kind of start somewhere. And as you learn more, as you become more of an expert, as you get more clients, as you build your business, I do think most of us hit a shifting point. And that's a good thing. That means that you learn something new and beneficial. But I want to encourage people to just start and know that they can always change something later on.
Oh, yeah. And I completely agree with that by all means. In regards to with just my journey alone, you know, I've shifted twice. And the biggest thing I've come out of it is I've come out to be able to show up for my ideal client in a much better way. But also, I feel a lot more comfortable in my business knowing that with the way that I've shifted either my services or how I show up, it's a lot about being comfortable yourself and being able to actually run your business the way you want to, because that's exactly why we run a business ourselves. So that way we can kind of do exactly what we want to do and show up exactly how we want to as well.
Mm-hmm. I love too that you keep calling out, you always imagine your ideal customer and the best ways that you can serve that person. And I think that's such a great way to approach a business. It makes all the what am I doings a little more fluid. They're always open to changing, because if you think of something new that would serve your customer better, it gives you permission to kind of change course. So I love that mentality. I think that's a great piece of advice. That brings us to talking about moments and lessons from your business. So is there one moment that really stands out to you in your journey so far for any reason?
I would say the biggest moment that really helped me transition in regards to just like my journey in general, like even throughout those different pieces, I would definitely say is when I first started off, when I first met my really good friend now, Danielle, and finding out like the whole community aspect for me is extremely important. And I feel like as online business owners, if we don't have that community, if we don't have that, it can actually really impact your business overall, because having that support makes a huge difference. And so when I go back to like that super defining moment of like how I made that transition, I was like, oh my gosh, like Danielle was right there with me. Like Danielle was there to support me. And each of those times, like it's always gone back to like, oh my gosh, what if I haven't met her? Like, what if I didn't have her in my life? And it made such a difference, honestly.
And how did you meet her?
So I actually did meet her in a Facebook group through a collaboration project, and she just absolutely fell in love with my energy and who I was. And I remember the day she messaged me, she's like, I don't know how we're going to work together, but I want to work with you on a project somehow. She's like, I am a social media manager and I do, you know, productivity coaching. I know you do website design and all that good stuff. We need to figure out how to do something together.
I love that. And I couldn't agree with you more that trying to run a business alone, it's just, it's not only isolating, but then you have nobody to bounce ideas off of or get support from or find somebody who has strengths that are slightly different from yours, but you can trade off. I just think the community aspect really can't be overstated.
Definitely. Yeah. And the biggest thing is that when I first started getting into Facebook groups, I was so overwhelmed, mainly because, again, I was still in that learning phase. I was like still trying to figure out what people were even talking about when they were referencing things. And so the biggest thing is just trying to find at least that one person that you can at least connect with. And also too, to keep in mind, like Danielle is also like twice my age. But I also have friends who are a lot younger than me as well, too. So having people of different experience levels with different, I guess, like things that they do as well, will just help to diversify you even more, because they're going to be able to see your business in a different light than what you're able to, instead of just being like, you know, close friends with everyone who does the same thing as you.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well, before we jump into our final round, I do want to give you a moment to share a big lesson or a learning for our listeners. And it can be about business, or it could be about the business that you're running, about marketing. So I'll let you just have the floor and share something that you think would be valuable.
Definitely. So one of the biggest lessons that I have learned is, and as silly as it may sound, or as much as people say this, you really cannot please everybody. And for me, coming from a place of service, coming from someone who has a big heart and wants to be able to, you know, help people to the best of, you know, my ability by all means, I had to learn super early on that there are some people that you are just not able to please. And that's okay. It's totally okay. You know, and the biggest thing is that you just have to always focus on giving it your all and giving them everything that you possibly can, and not taking the rude comments and the snide comments in your inbox, just taking it, you know, just letting it roll off and just being realizing, you know, hey, like if we were face to face, they may not have said that to me, but that's okay. It's totally okay. And just, you know, moving on past that and just being able to, you know, continue on with like your happy, you know, lucky go mentality and just keeping moving forward in your business, regardless of what they might say about you.
Mm-hmm. That is great advice. And it does. I mean, it sounds obvious to say, it's much easier said than done though. And I always try to remind myself that if I'm trying to please everybody, I'm probably not really helping anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather really focus in and help a small group of people a lot then try to help everybody just a tiny bit.
Exactly. And the thing is that it really does go back to understanding your ideal client at the end of the day. Because when I first started off, that's when I had the most amount of problems with my clients, was because I was trying to just help anybody and everyone who walked through my door. And I realized that, like, hey, it's okay to be like, no, these are like very specific people that I want to work for. And the relationships and the friendships that I have built because I have, you know, narrowed down my target audience so much has not only reduced my stress level, but also too, I've been able to serve them on a much higher level as well.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any advice before we wrap on how somebody might identify who their ideal client is?
So when it comes down to figuring out your ideal client, what you want to do is you actually want to get very, very, very extremely specific. And sometimes, honestly, it does come with experience. So when I started off, I was like, okay, so female entrepreneurs are my target ideal client. Female entrepreneurs. So then as you're going through the process, you just narrow it down. So for me now, I'm like, okay, well, I really like to work with creative female entrepreneurs. You might want to work with just strictly fashion bloggers or food bloggers or someone, you know, you might have like, you know, teenage moms or whatever that is. You might start off with moms, but then you work towards teenage moms. So it really is about going through the process of starting out broad and just working your way down. All the way, you know, you can get very specific down to like their age range, their interests. But the biggest thing is you want to identify exactly who they are, what group they're in, and then adding something to that. So again, so mine's female entrepreneurs creative. And then also taking a look at what their biggest struggles are. And then knowing if you have skills to be able to match up with those struggles.
Yeah, I think that was great that you walked us through an example to really show listeners how specific we're talking. You know, it's not even just entrepreneurs, not just female entrepreneurs. The fact that you narrowed down to specifically creative female entrepreneurs, I think hopefully that can inspire listeners to do that same kind of exercise on their own. Now, all right, before I let you go, it's time for our last round with some inspiration and some action to leave our listeners with. So are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So first, what's next for you? What are your big goals?
So for right now, my biggest goal within the next quarter is I want to be able to definitely work on more passive income. So I'm looking at creating a course, which might be more of like a self-taught aspect for someone who is looking at like more of like a wide range of digital marketing strategy. So this would have been a course that I would have loved to take when I was first starting out, when all I knew was about websites and I had no idea about like email marketing and social media marketing, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Love it. I'm a huge fan of online courses.
Yeah. So I'm planning on doing that. And then also too, I am definitely looking to be able to hopefully do more speaking as well, because I love to be able to connect actually like face to face with people and to definitely be able to match voices with faces as well.
Yes. Awesome. All right. Next question. What is the best business advice you've ever received?
I would say the best business advice that I have ever received definitely goes back to something that Jenna Kutcher actually answered in her podcast in a Q&A. And it was, I had asked her, what would you tell your 22-year-old self now? Like, what would you tell them? If you could go back to that point, what would you tell them? And the one thing that she said that always, and it has always stuck at me, like ever since, is the simple fact that like, you can't wait, don't wait to do it. You can't wait for that. You don't wait for Sally Sue to do it. Don't wait for Jane Joe to do it. Like, just do it. Go out there and do it. Whatever sets you want, your heart on fire, go and do it. Don't let someone else stand in your way. You know, no matter who that person may be for you, you just need to go for it and just believe in all your heart and it'll work out. You're going to learn lessons. Things are going to trip you up. But at the end of the day, you just need to go for it.
100%. Yes. Okay. Next up. What is one resource like Asana or Canva, and then one book that you would recommend to listeners?
So I would say my one resource, my go-to resource, is Google Analytics. A lot of times we get stuck at just looking at the visitor portion of like, okay, so how many people visited my website? But there's so much more that Google Analytics can teach you, like being able to look at like your workflow in regards to with like how people are actually going and walking through your website, what your most popular posts are, where are these people coming from, all that good stuff. And then my one book that I would recommend would definitely be Self-Made, and it's by Nelly. And it's amazing. Like, it literally changed my entire perspective on myself and as a businesswoman, and focusing on being able to actually stand my ground, but also be super confident as I'm moving forward in my business.
I loved your Google Analytics recommendation because I think knowledge is power, and being able to utilize data tools to see how people are interacting with you is so important. All right, just two more. Who is one businesswoman you admire and why?
So I'm going to jump right back on over to Jenna Kutcher. Jenna Kutcher is hands down my favorite female entrepreneur ever. My husband is actually embarrassed with how obsessed I am. And it's definitely not the creepy obsessed. It's definitely more of the simple fact that I just solely and fully admire her journey and what she's about and how she just impacts everybody else, like in such a positive light. And I found her through her Gold Digger podcast as I was getting into podcasts and listening. And I don't know, like, I don't know how to explain just the overall feeling of like having someone there that just kind of feels like your big sister. She's 7 years older than I am. And it's like, oh, she's like been there and done that. Like, I can do it too. And she just gives you that empowerment. And that's what she's given me.
Mm-hmm. That empowerment, I think, is so great. And we'll link to Gold Digger, the podcast, in the show notes. It's really excellent. Highly recommended too. And then here we go. Send us out with a quote. So what is one quote you want to share with listeners? And tell us all about it.
So my biggest quote that actually my business is also, a lot of it comes out of, is actually the following, which is, just like the lotus, we too have the ability to rise from the mud, bloom out of darkness, and radiate into the world. So for me, when I first started off with my self-branded business, I was really drawn to the lotus. And it's actually become more of like a symbol for me as I've gone through just the different transitions of like life outside of business, with, you know, being like 23 years old and like getting a house, being married, having a child, all that good stuff. And it's just interesting because it's such a beautiful flower and it comes from mud. And so no matter where you start off at, you have the ability to be able to make the most out of it and do whatever it is that your heart desires.
Thank you so much for joining us this week and hearing Ashley DeLuca talk all about her business. You can find links to everything we mentioned in the show notes at figuringitoutpodcast.com. Now, before we go, I have a small favor to ask. If you liked this episode, I'd love to ask you for a 5-star review in iTunes, aka Apple Podcasts. Those reviews let iTunes know that people are enjoying the show and help us reach more great listeners like you. I hope you liked this episode. I'm Melissa Guller, and you've been listening to Figuring It Out. See you next week.